Hello, folks. The first set of readings this first week include a Reuters newspaper article, the Chapter 6 from Knowing Words, which hopefully is a review from first-year writing, and Thomas Nagel's The Problem of Global Justice. And in this short video lecture, I'm just going to emphasize a couple points that I would like you to think about as you work through these readings. The Reuters piece is a disturbing article about the current refugee crisis in the Middle East and the burden it's placing on European countries. You don't need to worry about the details of this news article. The emphasis here was simply to motivate some of the different types of arguments that that scholars tend to make in normative political theory that we will also be making in our writing this semester. So in the notes that I give you, I lay these out in some greater detail, but the three types of arguments that you need to feel comfortable with, be able to define, and be able to emulate in your own writing are descriptive arguments, empirical arguments, and normative arguments. And what I argue is that normative political theory is not divorced from the facts of the world and rely on descriptive facts and rely on empirical facts, assuming that arguments are made for these different facts in other places. But they rely on these types of statements to support the philosophical arguments they make. So descriptive arguments are arguments that defend claims of descriptive fact. So examples could be 18,000 children each day in sub-Saharan Africa die of starvation, that there are hundreds of thousands dead from the Syrian crisis, that the polar ice caps are melting, or the example that I give in the notes is that the refugee crisis is getting worse. These are explaining how the world is. It's taking a snapshot of the world and it is explaining some or describing some fact of the world. Empirical arguments, to the contrary, are defending cause and effect relationships. They are explaining how the they are explaining why the world is the way it is. So examples might include that the Kyoto Protocol failed because the United States withdrew in 2001, or that what is causing the exodus of Syrian refugees is the violence of the Assad regime and ISIS. These arguments and these facts are often underlying the normative arguments that we're going to be reading this semester. The authors that we will be reading, you'll see, often start with some problematic descriptive fact or some problematic empirical fact that is supposed to motivate our concern about the problem. The fact that you have hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing Syria and the Middle East creates a concern about the current crisis and the treatment of migrants, etc. And so these philosophical arguments are built up on descriptive and empirical facts. So normative arguments are acknowledging how things are, and often they will speak to why things are the way they are, so descriptive and empirical. But normative arguments are ultimately defending claims, normative claims about how things should be. So it is looking at the status quo and identifying some sort of problem, some solution, some change that we need to implement. So examples of normative claims would be failing to respect same-sex marriages is wrong, racial profiling violates individual rights, or the example that I give in the reading notes, that the international community should intervene militarily against the Assad regime and ISIS. These, again, are not explaining how things are, why things are the way they are. They're explaining how they should be. There's some problematic status quo. We are wanting to change this for some particular philosophical reason, and we will be running into this trend throughout the readings this semester, where you are going to be seeing authors who are emphasizing some need to change problematic status quo. And this is the approach that I want you to take with your own term paper writing. You are going to identify some problem of justice, some problem in international politics, and you're going to explain the descriptive facts, the empirical facts, as a prelude to the argument you're going to make about why things should be different or how they should be different. But the major takeaways with this, this idea, this distinction between the types of claims, types of arguments, is intended to emphasize that, contrary to what you might think, normative political theory, moral arguments, ethical arguments are not based on opinion. When we say that it is wrong to not recognize same-sex marriages or that racial profiling violates individual rights, we're not expressing an opinion. We are expressing statements of truth. And these are very complicated philosophical arguments, but they are not based in opinion. And the reading from Schaefer-Landau will push back on this, but this is something that I want you to be thinking about. And second, that normative arguments are not divorced from fact. So I'm going to emphasize in your own writing that you start with some sort of empirical fact, some sort of descriptive fact. Explain this. Explain the example that's supposed to motivate the normative problem that you're engaging. The chapter 6 from Knowing Words should be review. You should feel comfortable with the idea of the rhetorical situation, purpose, audience, and context. You should feel comfortable with the ideas of rhetorical appeals, what those are, ethos, pathos, logos, those types of appeals. But what I wanted to emphasize in this are the components of the academic argument. So the authors of Knowing Words emphasize that you start with an introduction, with a background, you give the context, but the academic argument largely consists in your claim, which is your thesis, the reasons and evidence, which are supposed to be supporting the truth of your thesis, and then the warrant, which is some type of underlying justification that drives the truth of your argument. And we'll flesh this out as we go along, but feel review and feel comfortable with these concepts. And the other component that I want you to feel comfortable with as a matter of review, again, is the importance of counterarguments. Your arguments, the arguments that you make, are only as strong as the evidence that you bring to bear on the truth of your claim and your ability to refute possible objections to your argument. In all of your writing, when you're thinking about counterarguments, you need to be thinking about how reasonable people would reject your conclusion or some aspect of your argument, show why it's plausible that a reasonable person might disagree with you, but then ultimately explain why that objection is wrong. If you're not able to defend your perspective against possible objections, you need to think this through, because there are always alternative perspectives one can take, and you really need to show why it is that your perspective on a particular issue is the correct one. With Nagel's The Problem of Global Justice, this is a very dense piece of political theory. It assumes a lot of background knowledge. There are a lot of moving pieces. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. The part of the reason that I assigned this very lengthy reading is to emphasize to you that these types of readings can't be done quickly. All of the texts in Global Justice are going to have very difficult passages, lots of different arguments happening at once, and you really need to sit down, take the time to read through it as carefully as you can, and try to identify the central argument. That said, with each of these pieces, like I do in the notes, the reading notes this week, I will try to guide your reading so you can ignore a lot of the noise that's occurring in the background and really try to focus your understanding on some particular points. So with Nagel, what I would like you to understand are the distinctions he draws between humanitarian duties and obligations of justice. Obligations of justice tend to be stronger, and I want you to be thinking about why. I also want you to be able to explain why the existence of sovereign states, or what we understand as countries, pose problems for the cosmopolitan account of justice. Cosmopolitan account just meaning that you have principles of justice that are extending beyond geopolitical borders. This is going to require you to think through what cosmopolitanism means, and this goes hand in hand with Kaney's chapter 2 on universalism, where he gives you a good working definition of cosmopolitanism. The last component I want you to be thinking about with Nagel is why the political conception of justice, which is how he contrasts the cosmopolitan account, denies the idea that justice can extend beyond geopolitical boundaries. So you have these two conflicting arguments, one saying that justice is a matter of a global scale, the other one saying, no, justice really only applies domestically. That's the political conception. And I want you to be able to compartmentalize those and understand both of those arguments.